The university Mallory attended was on Long Island. The campus, a 45-minute train ride from Manhattan, lay between two towns, one said to be seedy, the other considered posh. The bad part had the bars, where some of the students went on weekends since they were within walking distance. The good, which was harder to access without a car, had the manicured lawns of the professors' homes. The college was mostly a commuter school, and on nights and weekends it was as if two-thirds of the students simply vanished like the rapture. Lacking both a car and an interest in bars, Mallory felt at once claustrophobic and isolated, a feeling with which she had been familiar for most of her life. She'd hoped college would be different. Her body vibrated with potential energy, but walking to and from her classes, she saw the sprawling campus as indifferent to her. She had the perpetual feeling of sneezing without being blessed. Other than her roommate, whose name was Joy, Mallory hadn't made any new friends. Together, their dorm room was a pair of Greek theater masks, Joy on one side, Mallory on the other. Joy had come to the college to study drama. She had the looks and the disposition for acting. Many things she did seemed dramatic. When she spoke or ate, she obscured her mouth with the back of her hand. When she read, she sometimes shut the book and bit into its jacket. When she watched shows on her laptop, she blinked rapidly and forcefully as if she was wincing or willing something into happening like Barbara Eden in I Dream of Jeannie. Joy had spent much of their first few weeks at school preparing to audition for the school's play. She rehearsed monologues from Shakespeare and her favorite films. Some of these she performed for Mallory, but she didn't get a part. This devastated her, and for days after her audition, she became withdrawn. During this time, Mallory felt embarrassed on both of their behalf. The humiliation of a ruined dream was too acute, and Mallory felt incapable of consoling her. Time passed, however, and Joy declared that the following semester she would study pre-law. The courtroom was a different kind of theater, she said, and one that paid much better. Her tossing aside an old life so easily brought Mallory comfort. A new one might be waiting for her, too. On a Tuesday night at the end of September, Mallory spoke to the woman for the first time. The university was hosting a visiting writer. Because she was studying literature, and because the writer's book jacket had bestseller emblazoned on it, Mallory thought she ought to go. There were cookies by the entrance of the small auditorium where the visiting writer read. Mallory put one on a clear plastic dish and filled a paper cup with black coffee. She sat by herself in the last row. She broke the cookie in half and broke the half in half before sliding it daintily between her lips. As she chewed, she held a hand in front of her mouth, ladylike, the way Joy ate. She saw the woman sitting in the second row. The woman's head was bowed as if reading a book in her lap. Her blonde hair had been pulled loose from the ponytail she wore at the gym and hung down to her shoulders. Mallory had run on the treadmill behind her so often by then that she could make out the woman from many rows back. An older man, the chair of the English department, called the small crowd to attention. This prompted the woman to look back and survey the room. In doing so, she found Mallory. Mallory looked away, but when she looked back, the woman's eyes were still on her. The woman's hair was parted down the middle such that both sides appeared as the arches of a lowercase M. Mallory fingered the tips of her own hair, the way her mother had worried the ends of her wig when meeting someone new. Before she began reading, the visiting writer, who possessed a free-spirited frumpiness that made her appear as a soothsayer, told a story about riding the subway in New York City weeks earlier. On the train, she said, she had sat across from a man reading a newspaper. He was bald and had bags under his eyes. The newspaper was from September 12th, 2001. The writer had done a double take to make sure she wasn't hallucinating. The man was reading over the news in a distressed daze, as if the disaster had happened the previous day, though it was now 7 years later. Watching him made the writer's heart sink. She wondered whether the man was a writer himself, a trauma survivor, or a time traveler. Getting off at her stop, she thought, those might all be the same thing.